Laura Kaminsky has won major international awards, both as a composer and as a concert presenter. So just in recent years, she's won something from the Kennedy Center, the Koussevitzky Music Foundation, a couple of Pulitzer nominations. I'll be asking about one of them in a minute, because we're going to hear one of those in Iowa City. And if I'm not mistaken, Laura, it's just now that you were named one of eight recipients of Opera America's grant for female composers. Is that correct?
Yes, just last week. Thank you.
Congratulations. Have you begun composing your opera yet?
In between everything I'm doing while I'm here in Iowa City, I'm sitting in my hotel room working on the opera, which actually will be involving the Fry Street Quartet. So it's an ongoing collaboration with them.
Well, maybe we can begin by talking about your previous collaboration, the one we'll be hearing in Iowa City, Rising Tide.
Yes, it's a pleasure to speak about this project because I'm so thrilled to be a part of it. This was a project that the Fry Street Quartet dreamed up in collaboration with a physicist, Dr. Robert Davies, who is a spokesperson, scientist, advocate, talking about climate change issues. And he had a concept that rather than just continue to have conversations with the scientific community who already knows everything that he's talking about, that he wanted to reach more broadly and touch the minds and hearts of not just scientists, but the general public. And he thought an interesting way to do that would be to collaborate with musicians, because he feels that music is such a communicative and expressive art form. So he approached the Fry Street Quartet and said, could we build a project together in which I could weave a scientific discourse about climate change and environmental concerns into a musical evening that you would perform, and we would create a powerful piece about climate change. And they agreed and embarked on this amazing project. And I ended up very fortunately being invited to be the composer for it. And I think the reason that I was invited was because Elizabeth Oakes from the University of Iowa and I had met in New York at Chamber Music America conference and began an interesting conversation about interdisciplinarity and political and social activism on the part of musicians. And she thought maybe I would be a good fit for the Fry Street Quartet and introduced us. So I'm very grateful to her for that foresight. And as a result of that, the quartet invited me to write this piece, which is a four-movement string quartet. And each movement is a response to a segment of Dr. Davies' lecture.
So it involves a lecture, it involves your music, it involves art as well? And
yes. One of the things that the conception of this project included was to bring people together on as many levels as possible around the issues of sustainability. So, of course, in the giving of a scientific lecture, there's often projections of charts and diagrams and things like that. And Rob thought, what if I also used imagery? So he started to collect photographs of environmental toxic waste sites, environmental hazard zones, people who have been impacted, also pictures that were meant to be provocative in the sense that they show us in our consumer-oriented first-world existence and the impact that that has. And it's juxtaposed against images of some of the devastation that our worlds have created in the environment. And then he felt that that wasn't even enough, so he wanted to invite fine art photography and painters as well. So there are photojournalists' images from around the world, and there is also paintings by a fine art artist who works in acrylics primarily. And those are all interwoven as backdrop and also as primary viewing throughout the performance. So it's very theatrical, visually and orally stimulating evening.
I want to mention, by the way, for listeners who now think, I really want to attend that, it is tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Callahan Auditorium at the UI College of Public Health, which is very easy to reach from basically anywhere in near Iowa City. Laura Kaminsky, as you were working on this and writing the music, to what degree was your composing process influenced or responding to your knowledge that these other media and approaches would be involved?
That's a really great question. It was a fascinating collaboration in that first I was approached by Rebecca McFall from the quartet. Would I be interested in this? And conceptually, I was immediately drawn to this project for several reasons. One is that I've written quite a number of pieces over the years that address social and political issues, and several that deal with environmental sustainability issues. So it was, you know, something I'm very committed to and passionate about. So the opportunity to do this in this context was very appealing. What she said is, right now, Rob, Dr. Davies, is writing his lecture. So we can't give you that content, but we'll give you the structure. And the structure, it was water, the biosphere, forage, the quest for food, and then something that he called societas, the sort of the human world. And those would become the four movements of my quartet. And so I didn't know exactly what his content was going to be, but I had to start writing the music right away. Hmm. So I took the idea of water, and I thought about it for a long time. And there was a lot of dialogue that went back and forth with me, the quartet, and Dr. Davies about, you know, he was going to talk about how much water is available, how much water remains, what we need to do about water, the pollution of water. That was the scientific element. But I wanted to touch on something else, which is that water is the source of life, and that it's as old as life, and it's precious. And so I wanted to find a musical language that sort of came out of a sense of deep history and depth. And so I went in a non-scientific direction to create an emotional journey that reflected water. For the BIOS movement, I didn't know exactly what his scientific talk would be, but I wanted to try to create a sound world of all the sparks of life in the biosphere. So insects buzzing, energy floating, plants moving, just everything from the smallest cellular bits of life to a sort of full-blown, energetic, interwoven ecosystem. So for each of the movements, I was crafting different kind of music. A challenge for me was that I didn't want this piece to only be able to exist in the context of this multidisciplinary theatrical evening about climate change. I also wanted to have a string quartet that could be played on a concert with a Brahms string quartet or a Shostakovich string quartet. So I was also trying to think about structuring it as a viable piece of music in four movements that could stand on its own.
Just to backtrack a little bit, as you evoked water in the first movement, as I think through the history of instrumental music, I can't think of anything in nature that has been so frequently represented musically by composers. As you were looking for a language, for a way of presenting what you wanted to about water, mm-hmm. or the feeling you had about water, to what degree did those kinds of that heritage affect you, or to what degree were you looking for something really different?
That you're asking great questions. What I didn't want to do was to create a Schubertian babbling brook.
Right.
I didn't want to do Debussy's La Mer. I wanted to find something that came out of my own voice and that was, I think, wanting to be very rooted in the ancient history, that water was the source of life, that without water there'd be nothing, so we couldn't even have this conversation. So what I used as a point of entry for my own compositional work was I have been several times to Armenia, and Armenia is a landlocked country, but there's a huge lake, Lake Sevan, in the middle of the country, and it's kind of sacred space and very spiritual space. And I kept thinking about that, this ancient lake and this ancient proud culture. And I have been very much moved by the Armenian vocal chanting, the sharakan, which are spiritual chants that are mostly sung by women that date back to like the 5th century. And I thought, what if I try to reimagine that old vocal music floating through the air, looking out on the lake, as a way to enter creating the music for Rising Tide? So I rooted it there rather than in anything contemporary that Rob would be talking about.
Oh, fascinating. I should tell you that as I do this interview, I'm trying to be a good radio person and keep my mouth shut, but I'm silently thinking, wow, on a regular basis. How did you represent foraging? That's such an interesting topic as you get into the third part.
Well, that was actually, and this is part of what I was struggling with, was to create a string quartet in four movements that would stand on its own. So I sort of thought that the third movement had to be the scherzo, or the dance movement. So foraging is searching for food, so scampering around, looking for food. So I had this sort of vague image of sort of running around in the forest, trying to find your food for the day. So it's basically a running around movement. It's very fast and fleet, with the instruments just dancing along as fast as they can. And it goes up and it goes down because it's a journey. And so I tried to capture movement, a chase.
And the finale, this sounds in some ways like it's different and also a culmination of the work. Tell us about that.
Actually, it was the hardest part of the whole Crossroads project, not just of my quartet, because if, for those of us who believe that the environment has been so severely impacted that we're in the new Anthropocene age, which is the time of man creating and controlling the world in which we live and impacting it and therefore changing it, that it's a kind of a grim future unless we act really fast. And so I didn't even know whether Rob's talk was going to end on a foreboding note or an optimistic note when I began thinking about this. So what I wanted to do was think about how to write something that was both mournful and hopeful. And so it begins and ends with a sort of a chorale, very kind of quiet and spiritual, and then it gets agitated and disturbed in the middle. And I think that that was my attempt to say, we're in a crisis now, and there's a lot to be grateful for and protective of and respectful about vis-a-vis the environment, the world in which we live. And if we don't honor it, it's going to not exist the way we know it. And then move into that tumultuous world that we are living in now that does have so much crisis, and then go back to that humbling, quieter spiritual place, which maybe is a little bit of a question mark, whether that's a sort of a prayer for the dead planet or whether it's a prayer of hope. And so I suppose it's a little bit of a question mark at the end.
Wow, I'm so eager to hear this, and once again, want to tell listeners that they can be part of this tomorrow night at 7:30 at the UI College of Public Health Callahan Auditorium. Laura Kaminsky, thank you so much for coming in to tell Iowa about this project that you've been so central to, and we're looking forward to hearing it. And once again, congratulations on the Opera America grant, and good luck with the opera.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me on the show.